It's time again for Midday on Media, our monthly visit with Baltimore Sun critic David Zerowick. Next month, AMC's Breaking Bad spinoff, Better Call Saul, has its premiere. We'll get David's take on that show and what else to watch in the winter television season. On the streaming side, the Netflix hit House of Cards returns for its third season, and on the heels of two Golden Globes for its dark comedy, Transparent, Amazon announced that Woody Allen will write and direct a new series. Do video streaming sites have more freedom to take risks than the networks and cable? Have you done away with television entirely in favor of streaming only? Midday on Media with the Z on TV after the news from NPR.
Turned his band of Mardi Gras Indians into a musical band. Street chants became songs backed by funk and R&B rhythms. The Wild Magnolias cut several albums, and Dallas took the group around the world with hits like Honda Wanda and Smoke My Peace Pipe, Smoke It Right. He played Carnegie Hall and for the Queen of England and was named a National Endowment for the Arts Heritage Fellow. Bo Dallas was 71. For NPR News, I'm Eve Tro in New Orleans.
Bolstered by what he calls the fastest economic recovery in a decade, President Obama is taking the domestic agenda he outlined in last night's State of the Union address on the road, this hour to Idaho and later to Kansas. U.S. stocks trading slightly higher, Dow gaining 36 points since the open. It's at 17,551. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR.
And welcome back to Midday, Midday on Media, with my colleague from the Baltimore Sun, David Zerowick, the media critic of the Sun and blogger at Z on TV, joining us once a month here to talk about what's on television. Hi, David.
Hey, Dan.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
You know, I use the word television here, and I'm thinking, is that the appropriate word anymore? Woody Allen being contracted by Amazon to write and direct his first television series? Maybe not. I mean, is that television?
Yeah.
Television? It's streaming, isn't it?
It's streaming.
It's streaming. So yeah. I guess, are we going to continue to call it television?
No, somebody will come up with a term. You know, because we keep saying now, I used it last week, but we used it back with House of Cards first came out. The best TV show not on television.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Spacey even uses that line now.
Yeah.
Because it isn't. It is a different form of it. We still, we think of it as television, and it follows most of the conventions of television. But the really interesting thing is people have these big screens and all this expensive stuff, and I'm watching more of it on my computer screen,
Same here.
With my wife. She's watching
this,
more. Yeah.
I keep finding this really interesting, the changing and the viewing habits of people. So I put that out there throughout this hour with David today. I'd like to hear from our listeners on this. How are your viewing habits changing because of the internet? Do you find yourself actually watching less television in, what do we call it when you actually watch something when it's supposed to be on the air? What is that called?
Real time?
Real time? No, there's another term for it. We do a lot of time shifting anyway in our lives, and now you can do even more of it because most shows are streamed. Appointment television. Thank you very much. Whoever said that, thank you very much.
Well, that's okay.
Senior
well,
producer Nikki Gaiman.
Well, now I would argue
call
with Nikki, but
senior
I'm
producer
let
for
this,
nothing.
No, she's got it.
Okay,
she's
so got it. So appointment television.
That's when you got to be there. Yes.
Yeah.
But she's right. Yeah.
Like, how many people in our audience are actually doing that?
Yeah.
Is it Downtown Abbey or Downton Abbey?
It's Downton Abbey.
Yeah, Downton Abbey.
As opposed to Downtown Eddie, the guy you wrote a column about in 1972.
Yeah, he talked like this. He didn't talk like this. Now, is that appointment television? You have to watch it on Sunday night at 9 o'clock.
Well, see you can watch it online. You can go. You can let it all run and then get it on DVD and catch up with it. There's different ways
DVD.
To do it. Yeah, you can do it still on.
You can't watch it online the next night, like Monday night.
I don't think you can watch it right away on Monday night. I don't know. I've never tried it. I don't think PBS is doing that. If they are, they're probably foolish because they want to get. that audience that they can sell to Vikings Cruises for the advertisements that aren't advertisements, the enhanced underwriting messages from Viking Cruises.
Well, it seems to me as time goes by, people are going to become more impatient with this whole idea of appointment television.
Yeah.
They want to watch it on the bus. They want to watch it when they're have time to kill something before they go to bed at night.
Well, you know, even CBS this year said that in coming months they're going to make all their stuff available online in different on-demand video venues.
Oh, yeah?
You know, even HBO is breaking out of the model where you have to be a subscriber to HBO. They're going to make it available sort of a la carte where you can go see stuff on demand online.
Well, I'd like to know that. Is that true? Because HBO Go seems to be tied to a subscription.
Yes,
HBO.
You do. You absolutely have to have a subscription for that. That was big news about a month or maybe actually 2 or 3 months ago when they announced that they are going to it. And it's because
They're going away from.
Well, they're going to keep that as that's their core model. The subscription-based model is a great model for them. But they're not growing, and they're losing people to the streaming services like Netflix and Amazon. So they're going to make some of their content available in that format for people who are not subscribers
to HBO.
That's
what I was getting at.
Yes.
That's good to know because I just canceled my HBO.
There you go. There you go.
Comcast. $190 a month for the bundle with the internet. I called him up. I said, hey, what are we doing here? $190 a month.
Thank you.
And I don't watch HBO. I must admit there are some programs I watch, but not all. I don't just don't watch them much.
Right.
So I said, cut me back to the digital basic or something.
Oh, you don't want to say that.
Oh,
you're gonna have
So then the Ravens game comes on. Ravens and who did they play, New England? I don't even want to talk about that. But so my TV is back old school all of a sudden. I have antenna.
When you said digital
they
basic.
Didn't tell me that was going to happen.
When you said digital basic in Comcast headquarters, an icon of a peasant from the Middle Ages with a hoe and the king riding by and spitting on him popped up on your screen. That's not when you call in with a complaint.
Is that what it looks like?
That's what you look like to them, you know?
We got another one, Charlie. Nice one.
Before that, you were like
a peasant at $142 a month, right?
This is the brave new world. But seriously, Dan, we have talked about that. And somebody, we've talked about this several times over the years. But somebody wrote me another email about this yesterday, and it was in relationship to something I wrote this weekend. And she said, you know, more and more you're writing about stuff that people can only have certain subscriptions can get to, you know. Mm-hmm. And I really feel left out, you know. And I wrote back to her, and I'm very sincere about this. She said there's two Americas, you know, in terms of video TV now. Why don't you write about that? And I said, I've been writing about it for years because it upsets me just as much. It is the television industry has really managed to make subscribers out of it. You know, you used to go to buy a TV set, you know, you paid on time or whatever, you could afford it. You got almost everything that they had,
Right.
Now you get almost nothing. You know, you get network dreck is mainly.
You mean with the basic service?
With just buying a TV, you know, and even if you get basic cable, there's certain things they have to give you, but you get almost nothing in terms of the shows that people are talking about. And I really, I mean, this is very upsetting to me sort of in terms of social class. You know, where I grew up as a kid, you know, if that were transposed to today, you know, the factory town I grew up in and the social class I came from, I would not have gotten to see most of the best of American television anymore. I would not get to see a show like Olive Kitteridge on HBO. I would not get to see House of Cards. I would not get to see any of these shows. And for a lot of people, you know, well, Zurich, don't cry, go to school and watch, you know, learn, you know, read Shakespeare. Yeah, okay, great, that's part of it. But also in the currency of today, the high end of American television is supremely important to not just the national conversation, but a kind of cultural literacy. I mean, I think if you haven't seen some of these shows, the shows we think of as the greatest shows in American television, you don't understand American life as well as you could. I mean, and I don't care whether that's Breaking Bad or whatever your favorite show is.
The reader who wrote to you, she said, where is she in life in terms of this?
She felt angry about it. And
but what is she getting?
Did she
say she was getting just basic cable?
She doesn't even have basic cable. She has over-the-air television. That's it. And
okay.
She said she's retired and on a fixed kind
right.
of income
right.
and can barely keep up with that life. And that's absolutely
so
true.
So we're assuming she doesn't have a computer as well? Or
I don't know.
I mean,
we didn't get that far into it.
All right,
yeah.
Well, let's get into it a little bit because what you are, you're onto something here because you have to pay for all of this.
Yes.
We're going to talk about House of Cards, a Netflix series. You have to have a Netflix subscription to see that. Now, Amazon, which has the deal with Woody Allen now, and we're going to talk about its program, Transparent.
Which I think may be the best program on TV right now, believe
it or not. But it's not on TV.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so how do you get that? Is that only with Amazon Prime?
If you're Amazon Prime, you get it for free. Yeah, because
actually,
yes, thank you.
You don't get
you.
It for free.
There is
David.
No yes, thank you.
There's
you're,
no. Free.
You're so right.
Yeah.
But you know that's Bezos, the guy who runs.
Yeah.
You know,
Amazon
I worry,
Prime is what $95 a year, right?
Yeah. I worry about that guy. You know, I don't. You know, in terms of our business, Dan.
Yeah.
I don't worry about much. I worry about that guy because he's figured things like this out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I just hope he's stupid on newspapers and smart on how to get packages to your house.
Supposedly, they're still not making any money.
Yes.
They have all this revenue, but no profit.
Losing big, yeah.
So what makes me wonder, in a case like that, Amazon being what it is, couldn't you offer programs like this to people just online, just stream it online for free? Really for free, because that pulls people to your website.
Yeah,
in this case, a massive retail website.
Well, you know, Dan, like everything in American culture, from drugs on the street to buying a new car, or upgrading in terms of cars, what they do. If you think back to when they debuted House of Cards on Netflix, you know what I did at the time. What a lot of people did. I wanted to see more than the screeners. I think they sent me the first three episodes, and then they dropped all 10 or 12. At one time, I wanted to see the other nine. I thought, well, I don't want to pay for Netflix. I got all these other subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
They offered, I think, a 30-day free thing, and it was incredibly easy. All you had to do was like give them your email and your name.
Yeah,
and then you could watch it all. So they essentially were offering House of Cards to non-subscribers for free
for 30 days.
For 30 days, yeah. Yeah,
you spent a lot of time on Netflix.
Well, and here,
30 days.
Yes, and here was the other smart thing that they came out of that. Then they said, "Well, we're not going to tell you how many people actually watch this series because that's proprietary information. We don't have to give that out. That's what HBO used to do in the early days. But we'll tell you this: our number of viewers." And then they quoted all these numbers with these people that had gone up exponentially after House of Cards. Well, it was free viewing. You know, they had, you know, instead of 2 million streams, they had 20 million streams, you know, and people were like, wow, and their stock went up. Their stock started going up. So they played the game perfectly. I mean, it was a brilliant move by playing the game.
But for a limited time
for
and
a limited time only. Yeah, then you got to subscribe. And then I subscribed.
Yeah.
Yeah, then
but
I subscribed.
But you're back to the woman who can only afford
so it's like the
antenna
dealer.
TV.
Yeah, yeah.
She is missing out on a lot of new culture here.
And she's
right?
angry about it, and she understands it. She's not an uninformed person. She knows what she's missing, and she can't afford it. And that's really, in a way, what really, I mean, you know, you take that and you multiply it, make it exponential, and that's how you get a revolution. But that's what upsets people. They understand. They say, this is happening in my life. There are now at least two Americas in terms of television, and I'm in the part of it that I don't like, you know?
I don't know what the answer to that is. What do you think is the answer to that?
You know what? I absolutely believe two things.
Public television is the answer.
Yeah, and public television, from my estimation, public television, I don't care if you want to say it's because they have fewer resources or what they have, public television is not getting better. public television looks like another institution in this country that is in decline. I think from the NewsHour, that's true. I chronicled the audience they lost, whatever it was, 48% of their audience in 8 years, to the kinds of programming. I mean, people say, well, Downton Abbey's a tremendous success. And I say, yeah, if you're going to plow your money into a British series that, you know, is premised on one social class oppressing another social class, that doesn't make me happy. Why don't you tell some American stories like cable is doing, you know? Cable's the one that's telling, I wrote about this at the end of the year. Cable's the one that's, premium cable, which you got to pay a lot of money to get.
We don't have an American Masterpiece Theater.
No, we don't. Of course we don't, you know? I see on press tour this week that they announced they're going to be doing some kind of series with the Civil War, not with Ken Burns, you know? And they always say to me, well, we have Ken Burns. And I go, that's nonfiction television. Those are documentaries.
Documentaries. That's God, great.
Yes,
thank you.
God bless them.
Yeah.
Now why don't you do some of the great dramas? We have Pulitzer Prize winning authors from America. Mm-hmm. Do their works.
Mm-hmm.
Don't send it to Britain and show me something from 1920 where the people in the scullery were thrilled to be shining their master's shoes. I don't want to see that.
Cannery Row.
Yes, thank you.
Of Mice and Men.
There you go.
From Here to Eternity.
Yes, yes.
Do you know.
Totally.
The American Masterpiece Theater. I think we're onto something.
Well, they tried an American Masterpiece Theater. They called it American Masters, I think. Not American Masters. American Originals or some. And they didn't do it right. They did drippy. What they did is they went to like...
Are we at a disadvantage because we don't have British accents?
No. Well, if you watch public television, yes. We're the peasants. But right next to your icon, by the way.
A couple of things here. Alice, I want to thank Alice for writing in. She's a listener in Frederick. She says, you can absolutely watch Downton Abbey on the PBS channel website, but only the current season. And we checked that out, and it's true.
The current season.
The current season.
You can't watch the
previous. So the
you
previous
have to buy
ones,
the DVDs.
I guess you get the DVDs for that.
Okay, good.
Now, Stephanie is, she's very bright. She's written to us before about how she gets around certain things.
Yes, I know
who
that is. Yes,
yeah.
I do.
She says, we've tricked our home computer into thinking it's in England so we can get. You just use a zip code. You know, you just find a London zip code and you put it in there. I did that for a while with a classical music channel. From London, that I guess was restricted.
That's brilliant.
And I just put in, I just found my old pen pal's Colin Bray's zip code, if that's what they call it over there, postal code. And I put that in, and they thought I lived in, Kensington High Street. Anyway, we've tricked our home computer into thinking it's in England so we can get all the current BBC shows. Advertising free, all available over the web. It's fantastic, but I really wish we could just pay the BBC to legally access their content here in the U.S. instead of using our TunnelBear VPN software. So she's giving us a little hint how to do this. TunnelBear.
Yeah, she's
B-E-A-R.
Connecting to a server with VPN. That's what we do to get into the site.
I was disappointed, too. Cause BBC had a great-looking series on World War One.
Yeah.
That launched about a month and a half ago. It looked really good, but you can't get it here.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you'll get it here in a year or two.
Well, because they know they can sell it to PBS for one thing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
A year later.
Those suckers, right. And also, I find myself watching more stuff on YouTube because a friend of mine found something interesting and recommended it to me. That's how it works. I watched a great documentary on YouTube called Garbage Warrior.
Huh.
And my son mentioned a documentary he saw on Netflix. It was very good, and I checked it out, and I would never have known about it until he mentioned it. And that was streaming, of course.
Yeah.
Here's Liz's second tweet of the day. She says, we dropped cable and use a Roku device so we can stream shows on the TV screen with Hulu Plus, Netflix, Amazon Prime, and HBO. And Nicole says, the antenna TV woman needs to get in on the underground streaming service passcode sharing culture.
Okay, we're going into pirate land.
You get all that? the underground streaming service passcode sharing culture.
We're going into pirate land here.
When we get back, we actually will talk about Woody Allen and Amazon and his series, and we will actually talk about Transparent with Jeffrey Tambor, that Amazon series which picked up a couple of Golden Globes. And we'll hear about the third season of House of Cards and what to watch this winter. And then, of course, we'll get to the Breaking Bad spinoff, Better Call Saul. Better Call
Saul.
all with David Zurawiec of The Sun. If you have a question about what's on TV, 410-662-8780, or tell us about your changing viewing habits. We'd like to hear that, too. Our email address, midday@wypr.org. And welcome back to Midday. Midday on Media with David Zurawiec of The Sun, the media critic there who blogs at Z on TV at BaltimoreSun.com. The second season of House of Cards started off with a bang when Frank Underwood, played, of course, by Kevin Spacey, pushed that meddling reporter, Zoe Barnes, played by Kate Mara, off of a metro platform to her death.
Wearing a great disguise, yes.
Yeah. And here's Frank's lesson for viewers.
Did you think I'd forgotten you? Perhaps you hoped I had. Don't waste a breath mourning, Miss Barnes. Every kitten grows up to be a cat. They seem so harmless at first, small, quiet, lapping up their saucer of milk. But once their claws get long enough, they draw blood, sometimes from the hand that feeds them. For those of us climbing to the top of the food chain, there can be no mercy. There is but one rule: hunt or be hunted. Welcome back.
And the part. That's the part of this show I love. And that's for politics, and that's for media. Hunt or be hunted, man. Yeah. That's the real world, and it's great. You know, that show, in its depictions and in the history of the people who write it, have contempt for the press. The press is not treated well there.
No.
But even that Zoe Barnes character was a great creation. But all her enmity for the press was put into her. And I think they got a catharsis when they pushed her off the subway. And I'll tell you what, in one way it was the worst moment of that series because it pushed the sort of credibility. That scene, and then the way he had this bad makeup, the stupid disguise, people still laugh about it. But he then comes back with that profound sort of speech about, it's really the world of Washington. And you go, yes, that's the world I live in. I know it, Frank. I'm with you. And you know, that's what
it's not that far from the truth.
Oh, it is.
It's really not, is it?
It is the
truth. I mean, we had a congressman who was, remember that story about the congressman and the young woman who disappeared?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, I don't know about that end of it.
No, I mean, actually.
But, yeah, I know what you're saying.
People think, well, it's an exaggeration, murder, you know. But
I think it's
and you got Lady Macbeth prowling around still in this story. It's great.
That's the great thing about these high-end, profound television dramas. They take it one notch further, and they allow us in the audience to symbolically see our anxieties, our fears, our desires, and our frustrations played out. Can't do it in real life, but you can see it played out there. And this is a Greek tragedy, and then you feel better about it, or maybe you don't feel better about it, but you don't feel like you're the only speck of dust in this dark existential universe, that other people in this dark existential universe got the same feelings you do and are just as miserable as you are in this gutter of space.
David, I think you nailed it. I think you've nailed it. By the way, third season, is it going to be a Netflix dump again?
Oh, you've seen it even on a trailer? Yes, they are. February 27th.
February 27th. The whole thing.
Yeah, dumps again.
I don't like to use that word.
Drops.
Drops
is the word.
Right,
use. But the great thing about that.
Excuse me, a very important question. Is there going to be a fourth season? Is this show going to be continued? Will it continue to be produced in Maryland?
That's a great question. I would say, you know what, with the new governor-elect being sworn in, I would say that that the future of the show certainly is going to be played out in Annapolis. Not the future of the show, but the future of it filming here. And I have to say, I have never seen such a bandwagon and so quickly seen people who don't have all the facts jump on this bandwagon to cancel incentives. The Washington Post editorial writers were drawing a bullseye on the back of House Cards. Now, my theory is that they're jealous that it's made here. Because all these
things, really dismissed it.
Yes, and all these things that are cool in the culture are supposed to be made in Washington, not in little Peasantville, Baltimore, you know? And we've got it. And so
the land of peasant living.
Listen, they write this thing about don't give them money. This is a waste of money. If Hogan wants to live up to his Governor Hogan wants to live up to his promises, he needs to take the money away from these guys. And then they end in the last paragraph.
Well, they base it on that report that came out in the fall. It didn't help too much, right?
Very,
it said basically we're getting nothing out of this.
Well, and
I mean, how can you say that?
That report is very open to total challenge, and I can find you three other reports that tell you three different things about it. That report, but they took it as a Bible. But in that editorial, in the last couple of graphs, they go, oh, and by the way, you know, Virginia's really got a good program. You should come to Virginia.
Right. 410-662-8780. Let's take a phone call. Bernard calling from Washington, D.C.,
right.
Making a call to Peasantville. Thank you.
He may be in that subway pushing a reporter off the tracks right
Hello.
Now. Hello.
Hi, Bernard.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm physically in D.C. right now. I live part-time in Baltimore as well.
Okay.
And I use my iPad significantly as my media instrument of choice. And, I listen to your station, WYPR, a lot, even riding down the highway when the signal has gone out, you know, once I get closer to D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I subscribe to Netflix, and I subscribe as well to Amazon Prime. I do a lot of shopping on Amazon, too. But I subscribe to Netflix, and I'm looking at something called Crossing Lines now. And what I find in those two vehicles is that you can see a whole season or several seasons in some cases, which you can't typically see on broadcast television.
Yes, you're absolutely right. They don't have that kind of video on demand capability, or they won't let you have it. And part of it, Bernard, I think, is the structure, the economic structure of network TV, which has, you know, for 40 or 50 years was based on a production company like Paramount or Warner Brothers or one of them out in Hollywood making a show. They invest the money in making a show, and then they essentially lease it to the network for two airings or two showings a year, one in first run and then one in rerun.
Right.
And I think the reason so network is still tied to that model of production, and so they don't actually own those episodes. The production companies do. So unless they went back to the production companies and negotiated this, which they should be doing, I totally think you're right about this. They should be doing it because the world has changed so much. But nobody is slower than network television to accept this change. And I think it hurts them, really hurts them, that you can't go back and watch back seasons that way.
Yeah, I would agree. But, I mean, ultimately, you know, everything's going to the net. So, I mean, ultimately, they're going to have to do something.
Bernard, thanks for the call.
That's great about the iPad, though.
I enjoy your show.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's great that he can listen to the station when it's...
Yeah, I've done that through my smartphone. Listening to listen to it online, and also
great.
The BBC or whatever.
A lot of people use the iPad that way.
Yeah. This is an interesting comment from Maya. She says subscription services are too costly for the amount of channels my family actually watches, of the number that they provide. Between Netflix and Hulu, I spend about $15 a month.
That's a good deal.
Drew says, I watch broadcast TV, and that is plenty for me. I also have a library card. Erica says, TV and movies are nice, but this seems overly dramatic. She says, after hearing about our discussion of the previous hour, I'm not sure what she means, but she says, no one is going to suffer badly because they cannot get TV and movies.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, that's the same argument that says nobody's going to suffer because we have to close a few libraries or because we can't teach music in the schools. I understand what you're saying. I understand what she's saying. She's saying compared to housing and the basics.
So, I mean, we're talking about television and entertainment in this hour.
But,
so.
But if television is the principal storyteller of American life, and indeed it still is, if you don't have access to that, imagine this. This is hard to imagine, but it's the same concept. You're in a tribe, and there's a storyteller who has all the tribe's history and all the sort of mores of the culture wrapped up in his or her stories that they tell, you know? and you can't get to the campfire. There's no place for you at the campfire.
I don't know what the answer, though, is.
Yeah,
what
three
is
out
the
of
answer to this? Is more public television, more, I mean, what?
Well, you know what the problem is, Dan? Communications Act 1934, we gave the airwaves to the corporations. We didn't set up a powerful public like BBC.
Like BBC.
We did not do that.
Yep.
And we can't. We could. You think there's a politician with the courage in Washington to try to undo that? I don't think so.
Can we talk about transparency?
Yes, yes.
This program, this show, kind of crept up on me.
Yeah.
I wasn't really paying attention until recently.
Same for me.
Jeffrey Tambor, very interesting premise that we should tell our listeners about who aren't familiar with it. This is an Amazon show. It picked up a couple of Golden Globes.
Yeah, he's Mort Pfefferman. He's the father of three. He's divorced. He and his wife are divorced. His wife's played by Judith Light. Jeffrey Tambor plays Mort. And as his now his family's grown, and he transitions to becoming a woman. He becomes Maura Pfefferman, the woman he always wanted to be. Now, this is told, honestly, I went back and looked at the full season, the week of the Golden Globes. And I have to say, I walked away from that thinking this might be the best show on American TV that's not on American TV, of course, because it's streamed. And it's amazing on a bunch of levels. One, that Amazon, which I thought of as the thing that delivers dog food and stuff to my house in boxes, that Amazon has caught up with Netflix, having a great sort of signature show after just a couple of years. They started with Alpha House, which was John Goodman and Clark Johnson, two actors I think are terrific. The problem was it came out in 2013, and it was compared to House of Cards, which Netflix spent $100 million on and had David Fincher directing. So it looked like Amazon looked like low rent, cheaper. It looked like Showtime used to look compared to HBO in the early years. But they caught up instantly with this thing. The thing I like best about it is they really took a chance that these streaming services, they understand that in the incredibly cluttered marketplace of American media today, you have to be bold, you have to be daring, you have to really take a chance to cut through the clutter. And they did just that, and they were rewarded for it. And if there's now the bad thing, you know, I was talking to Nikki Gamer before we came on about this, and she's right. The bad thing is the networks will probably now try to copy it, and they'll make a watered down, cheap, exploitative version.
As I was going to say, it seems like the streaming operations can be more daring.
Yes,
can be.
Yes,
they are being, but they can be more than the networks have been.
Yeah, and
cable.
You know what? I wrote about this last week. The Amazon pilot process. Instead of spending a lot of money for pilots, they make a pilot. They put it up. They let their subscribers essentially vote on what they like. It seems, you know, now I don't think those votes are determining solely. Nobody's going to hand it over to them. But it is a more democratic process, and it is like a giant focus group in a way. And it's working for them, I think.
Let's listen to a clip from Transparent, the Amazon program. In this scene, Jeffrey Tambor's character gets her new name from her friend Marcy, played by Bradley Whitford.
Yeah, Brad Whitford.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
I'm Marcy.
Hi, I'm Daphne Sparkles.
You hit a kid.
No, you don't like it. No. It's strippery. I'm sorry. But it's not right. You need something elegant. You're Maura.
What's your name?
My name is Marcy. What is your name?
My name is Maura.
This is profound. Just in that scene, Jill Soloway, by the way, who wrote for 6 Feet Under, a brilliant writer who created this series. That scene, and she's so good at this, that little exchange tells you, speaks volumes about identity and how it's formed and how we formed identity and how fluid identity is. We think fluid is biologically fixed. It's handed down. It isn't. We invent our identity as we go along. That's a brilliant thing. In the second, at the end of the pilot and the start of the second episode, Maura comes home early from a session and at the group she's a member of, and she, in her bedroom, is her grown daughter, who's married and has two children, married to a man, and the daughter is with her former college roommate, and the two of them really have a very hot sexual attraction to each other, so they're kissing, and she walks in, and it's her bedroom, and the daughter, of course, doesn't live there. But instead of her asking her daughter, hey, what's going on, because she's dressed as a woman, she's the one who feels the need to explain. And she then comes out to her daughter, and it's really a great moment. But the daughter then says, so kind of a little, as children, grown children can be, a little wise guy says, so help me out here. Are you telling me that you're going to be dressing like a woman now from time to time? And she says, and it's a great pause, and Jeffrey Tambor is just brilliant. And she said, and he, the actor, as she, Maura, says, no, this is, I've been dressing for like 60 years or whatever as a man. This is who I am. And just the way she says, this is who I am. And she reaches, takes her daughter's hand, puts it on her heart. And you go, wow, is this a great moment? That's what makes me say it might be the best series on television.
Just FYI, they've had a full season,
yes.
Therefore eligible for Golden Globe.
Yes.
So where is it now? Is it into a new season?
Or yeah.
Do you know when a season begins and ends?
Their season started in September, just like House of Cards does in February. They dropped the whole season at once, 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
They will drop the next season in September. They will be filming this summer in California. They film in Los Angeles.
We have comments on Facebook. One from Scouty who says, Transparent is fabulous.
Yes.
We'll talk about Woody Allen and then this new AMC show, Better Call Saul, the spinoff from Breaking Bad, when we get back with David Zerwick. You're welcome to give us a ring, 410-662-8780. What are you watching on TV and how are you watching TV these days? Give us a ring. Welcome back to Midday on Media with David Zerwick. Dan Roderick's here with David from The Sun, media critic of The Sun. David, is an email from Fred in Parkville on what to watch. Fred said he's seen Orphan Black. Seasons 1 and 2 are available on Amazon Prime. It's a show about human cloning. The lead actress plays no fewer than 4 characters. It's been nominated for a ton of awards in Canada, absolutely absorbing, and can be binge-watched in a weekend. Produced by BBC America, Orphan Black.
Yeah, it's probably BBC America's most successful show. It does. I mean, BBC America tends not to get huge ratings here, but that's a really good show. It's a high-end drama, and it has a lot of followers, and it took off pretty fast. And again,
You would just go to BBC America website for that.
And much like, well, and if you want to catch up and start over, you can watch it on Amazon Prime if you're an Amazon Prime.
Well, yeah, that's right. He said that.
Yeah. So they have the back issues of it. Another show very much about identity, and it gets young viewers. It does very well with young adults.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Woody Allen here. What's the news on Woody Allen? Do we have any idea what he's going to create for Amazon?
No, you know, Amazon signed him last week, and I wrote the column last week was, boy, Amazon had an epic week. They win the Globes, they sign Allen, and they release a bunch of new pilots. But Woody Allen, look, here's two things I think about Woody Allen. One, he's 79 years old, so that's going to probably limit his creativity. Two, some people, because of his personal life, will never watch a film or a show from him again. And I think, you know, I would not argue against that. I'm not going there. That's the way he's lived his life. That's who he is. And if people don't want to watch him, I can understand that. So he's had a very controversial private life, which is public, because not so private.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing for me that I really like is, I wrote a lot and did a lot of research with the early television in the 50s. And he was one of the writers on your show of shows for Sid Caesar. Not one of the very first, but he was in the next cut with Larry Gelbert and Mel Brooks and all those fabulous guys. So there's a kind of nice symmetry there to have somebody from the earliest days of TV now in this new sort of iteration of television.
We're talking about 60 years.
60 years.
Wow.
So, and he promised, I mean, the deal they signed with him is he's got to write and direct all 12 episodes of whatever he comes up with. Now, Woody Allen being Woody Allen, he made a flip remark saying the guy who hired me is going to be sorry, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not counting them out. And I think it's worth Amazon doing this to align itself with someone who you have to acknowledge, even if you hate him, is an artist, you know, at least in the film medium. So that's my feeling.
What are we expecting? Something Woody Allen-ish? Something based in Manhattan? Do we know?
You think about it. You know, Jill Soloway said that she thought of her 10-part series for Transparent as a five-hour movie. And that every 30 minutes, she had to get people to click to the next 30 minutes. So she'd write with those kind of curtains or those kinds of breaks. That's a very smart thing to do. I think Woody Allen, being a filmmaker, may think of, boy, they're giving me 5 hours, 6 hours
right.
to make this movie.
Right. Now we have the spinoff from Breaking Bad, a successful series of AMC, called Better Call Saul. Let's go right to a clip here. Because I think people will appreciate this. Saul Goodman, who's the lawyer, right? Bob Odenkirk, a sleazy criminal lawyer known for his TV commercials, his low-budget TV commercials. So we have a clip of one featuring his famous tagline.
Oh, hello. I was just working on a multi-million-dollar lawsuit for one of my clients. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, a lawsuit sounds good, Saul, but... Who can I sue? Who can you sue? Try police departments, libraries, construction companies, school officials, cleaning services, financial institutions, local and international, your neighbors, your family members, your church, synagogue, or other religious institution, your employers' customers, suppliers, companies in other countries, companies that made the drugs that were turned into the drugs that you took. The possibilities are limitless. But Saul, how can I sue these people and institutions? I have no grounds. Do me a favor. Let me answer that question in person. Better call Saul.
Better call Saul.
That is a
You can sue libraries, your neighbors, your family members, your employer's customers.
That's brilliant. You know,
This sounds really good.
Yeah, Vince Gilligan, the dates on this, I think, are February 9th and 10th. They're going to have two episodes.
Yeah, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah. And Vince Gilligan, who did Breaking Bad, the creator and the showrunner, is doing this project. So that's enough to recommend it. I love this character. This character really took off in Breaking Bad because I think it's very much, again, I think it's a really American type in some ways. We love,
yeah.
We have this history of loving con men and flim-flam art. Going back into the 19th century with the guy selling snake oil, the guy plays a banjo, sells you some crap, and you go off. So you got a little dancing and you bought this stuff. That's continued straight through with confidence men. And this is a version of it today in American life, but there's an extra added dimension to it that really does make a guy like this, as much of a con man as he is, seem like a Robin Hood type hero of the people, in that these guys sue corporations and they sue all these
insurance companies.
Yeah, the guys who got it all together, the guys who no president will take on, who just lets them get too big to fail, these guys take them on, and you love it. That's the real appeal of this character. Plus, he's played so well with this kind of confidence that, you know, and it's crazy.
I think every city must have a lawyer like that who's on television.
Multiple
lawyers. We certainly have one here.
Multiple lawyers. But, you know, and the confidence is great. I remember one episode, the cops are like breaking in his front door and he's telling the lead character in Breaking Bad's wife, everything's fine, don't worry,
right,
you know,
right. Listen to me. Would you call him sleazy? Is that a fair word, or is he just a hustler?
I think some people would call him sleazy. I wouldn't. I would call him a con man. I mean, I would call him a hustler. That's a good word.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, I think quite a few people. You know what? I'll tell you what, Dan, social class again. I think people further up the social class food chain will call him sleazy.
Oh,
down his
you know, once upon a time, there was this big controversy over whether lawyers should advertise at all. I mean, I'm going back a ways, but there was that whole... you know, this idea that this was beneath lawyers to have advertising on TV, to advertise their services.
You know, I he won't hear me because he's in Oklahoma. I have a brother, a younger brother. He's highly
ethical.
They
have the internet
now.
No,
he's incredibly ethical.
All our shows are podcasts.
He lectures on ethics, but he built up a practice by taking on corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And in his younger days, he had this same kind of sort of confidence and swagger.
Yeah.
And he was...
I know guys like this.
He called me up and said, I'm going into court tomorrow with like the Burlington Railroad, you know.
Right. It's showtime.
And they'd have all these blue-suited corporate types.
Exactly. You know what I like about Saul that I've seen so far is mustard-colored shirts.
Yeah.
The mustard yellow shirt with the almost polyester suit, it looks like.
Nobody but baby boomers going to get this, Dan, but some of them will. I remember a bit that Alan King did on the Ed Sullivan Show about when he sued American. Remember, he was always angry at corporations. American Airlines lost his luggage, so he didn't take it. He sued him. And he got his brother-in-law, his name like Morty, to sue him. And he described going into court against American Airlines. And he says, and he describes all these lawyers in their suits and their highly polished shoes. Says, and there's my brother-in-law Morty and his hush puppy standing there. That's the world. That's what this guy represents, and it's fun.
Is that the only spinoff you expect to see from Breaking Bad?
I think so,
I hadn't thought about it until I saw that this show was being produced, that it made absolute sense to make a show about Saul.
Yeah, and, you know, this is going to take Vince Gilligan's all his creative power, so I think it's the only one you're going to see.
Have you seen much of it
yet? I haven't seen any of it yet. I've just seen the trailers.
How does that work for critics these days? So the launch is February 8th and 9th. Will you see that a week ahead of time?
Yeah, probably a week. They'll either send out a DVD screener of it, or they'll give you a link to go watch it at Vimeo or somewhere in advance. They still do it. Not as much not everybody still does it. They say they don't have to. Some will occasionally try a kind of grassroots release rollout where they leak stuff to tame critics.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe give an interview or something. And nobody's really got a review. And then they're hoping that night on Twitter and in social media, everybody says it's great, great, great.
Say tame critics?
Tame critics.
That's a verb or an adjective?
T-A-M-E, people who are hand-fed and who are lapdogs, who I spit on.
You're using it as an adjective.
Yes.
Yeah. One other follow-up question.
I forgot those parts of speech.
One other follow-up question from earlier in the show from one of our listeners. David, do you really order dog food on Amazon? You did say that a little while ago.
You know what we order? No, we have very old dogs. This is true. We have very old two West Highland Terriers. One's 15, one's 14, Bugsy and Raffles. And they have to eat a lot of baby food. So we ordered the baby food on Amazon.
Why?
You know?
Why do you do that?
Because otherwise we'd be going to the store every day.
What's wrong with that?
Because your cases come right to your door. You know, I mean, we're running out of food.
You don't want to be
Bugsy's
seen buying baby food?
No,
is that
I'm
it?
Happy to buy baby food, but you can't buy. You go in, go in a Giant now, you'll find maybe 10 cans or 10 little bottles of beef and beef gravy, which is all the dogs are eating now.
Oh, so you need more than that.
You need more than that. You need two because Bugsy doesn't have it.
For Bugsy and Raffles?
Bugsy doesn't get it. He starts spinning around and snapping at the air, you know?
If he doesn't get this.
And that's not good when you're 15, spin around dog ears.
You ever thought about making that at home?
What?
Huh? I'm sorry. Just a couple of follow-up questions, that's all. David Zerwick, he's a media critic of the book. What are you writing about today?
You know what? I'm doing an interview with Duff Goldman. He's got two new shows on.
Really?
Yeah, and it's a great interview.
Two new shows?
He's got two new shows coming on Food Network. Great. Next time we'll talk about him.
Mr. Cake.
Baltimore's bad boy of baking.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's excellent.
We had a great conversation.
David Zerwick, check out his blog at BaltimoreSun.com and his reviews in the Baltimore Sun. And he joins us on the third Wednesday of every month for Midday on Media. That's why we had him in today. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Dan.
And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the program. We'll come back for some more. We'll be here again at noon tomorrow.
Midday senior producer is Nikki Gamer. The producer is Maureen Harvey. The associate producer is Michael Himowitz. Our interns are Carrie DeSantis, David Richmond, and Marjorie Goodman. Midday's engineer is Luke Spicknell. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcast and live streaming is available at WYPR.org. Dan Rogic's column appears in the Baltimore Sun. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.